Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your
country. We are the last Americans. We are the last Americans. We are the last Americans.
Yo, yo, yo.
What is up, Nate? Everybody?
It appears to be working.
Yeah, nice. Wow. Nice.
Fuck yeah.
Right at the last second, I noticed that the video wasn't up, and I switched it from auto to presentation, and now it's working. So.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, we're trying out Rumble Studio, everybody. Yeah. So apparently, this is the way of the future.
Apparently.
Well, it just makes things easier. It's like we can be live in both places now.
Which is good, because some people like Rumble, some people YouTube. It makes perfect sense. We had some issues last time.
Yeah. I didn't click a couple things. I should have clicked.
As soon as we ended it, we're like, oh. That's what that is.
Yeah, I forgot to allow Rumble my microphone and video.
Yeah, the video had a bar through it, and the microphone, so we didn't click it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Y'all can deal with it for 1 week. It's no big deal, or one episode, I should say. Guys, we had it going again.
let's do this shit again. Do it again. Let's go.
We had the big day yesterday, if you want to call it such.
The big day yesterday.
The big debate. Yeah, big day.
The biggest day of the year. The best ever debate.
So people call it a debate. I call it a deflate. Underwhelmed.
Well, not that it's underwhelming, but it's not even really a debate. They're not debating anything.
No.
I know.
I'm with Greg.
It's like
underwhelming. But expected. I expected it to be actually a little underwhelming.
Did you? There's a part of me that keeps on wanting that 2016 Trump to come out and bite again. I'm like, dude, you hit, because 2016 Trump hit on everything. Like, he hit on every little thing during debates, during freaking, when he was up there, kind of the primaries and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, man, what happened to Trump?
Well, listen, man, you take into consideration that was 8 years ago, and the man's not a young man.
I know, he's getting older.
Like,
it's his life.
Well, that, but also, I mean, you've said it yourself multiple times. You want him to be more reserved and to be more, not so outlandish as he was.
Well, see,
and
that,
that's kind of what he's doing.
Nah, but see, my issue with Trump, listen, I thought, we're obviously going to get into, our opinions
about it. Let's do it now.
It.
Let's fucking do it.
So, listen, I thought Kamala lied through her fucking teeth, bro.
Absolutely.
So it was the most. I thought she presented better than expected.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be her positive. She presented better. Now she could have had earpiece in, and who knows. But regardless of that, she presented better, but she lied literally about everything, dude. Yeah. And it was just the same old shit that we already know is debunked. We already know is bullshit. And that's what's infuriating. And to go with that, you know, the fact that the fact check, there was no fact checking on her part. They no one ever stopped her and said, you know, Madam Vice President, that actually has been debunked. That could have been said every time. Right?
The whole like white nationalist. There's good people on both sides. Like, really?
Yeah. Trump.
Like, there's like the whole video on that where it's you can go watch the whole conversation. It's debunked.
It was all of it. I mean, the fact that she was talking about him not like respecting the military. Like, are you really like you just did not go to a memorial. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing here? You know, you clearly
well, not
don't.
Only that, but I mean, it's I think it's like obvious that the military likes Trump.
Yeah. But she referenced all the, you know, crooked sergeants and shit that didn't like Trump that were fired. You remember that?
True.
So my ultimate take on Trump is I thought he did pretty good. I thought he had his standard points. I thought he handled most of the things fine, but he definitely her goal to me was very clearly to get him riled up and say a bunch of shit that would get his
ego. She did a good job of doing that.
She did a good job. So when you were saying, is he calmer? Sometimes, but well, he allowed the ego to get in his way on this one.
He definitely seemed fired up. But what I meant about calmer is he, like before in like 16, he was saying all the things we were all thinking.
Yes.
He's not doing that now.
Nope.
No, not as much. Not as much.
He's not in the minds of the American people anymore. And that's where I'm like, dude,
I don't know
I
about
fucking
that.
Miss.
I don't know if I'd say that. I think that's like kind of like a, I don't know if I'd say that. What makes you think that? And as far as like, he's not in the minds of the people.
Because he only focuses on the border. Okay. Like every 5 seconds he would bring up like, whoa, yes, there's a picture Christ. Of my microphones. That's my boom stand, everybody. But like every 5 seconds he would bring up the border, like you're letting immigrants in, look at the horrible things. And somebody just asked him this morning. I mean, you know, God love Trump for waking up at 6:30 in the morning and doing an interview like for whatever Fox and Friends, but someone asked, you know, like, what's the first thing you're going to do to fix this economy? He said, I'm going to shut the border.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, how does that help? But then he did go on and say, you know, like energy, he's going to drill, baby drill and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, that is something I can agree with that. But like when it comes down to like naming his policies and stuff, I feel like, yes, the wall was a big thing in 2016, but he used to focus on like, these people are all corrupt. He used to focus on how corrupt the system is and how he used to take advantage of it. And he would like be honest and kind of be humble and humiliating about like, hey, dude, I know this shit's corrupt is because I take part of it. You know, like I take the tax cuts. I do all this other stuff. He would say stuff that people go, oh, shit, he has like behind the scenes knowledge of all this stuff. And he's letting the cat out of the bag. And now it's just like the standard talking points that he always does, like at his rallies and everything.
Could you not argue that, like, you said it yourself, the cat's out of the bag? That was out of the bag almost 8 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, this has been discussed in nauseam for many, many years, right? So what do people care about the most right now? And that would be, I would argue, obviously, the border. That shit, I don't know if we're being short-sighted here, but for the past 4 years, that's really been a topic, man. The amount of people that are coming over, where they're shipping people. You know, you're talking about jobs. Obviously the cats and dogs thing was kind of funny because we just talked about shit. But there's people that are concerned with the border. It is one of the top subjects of people being concerned. So I don't know that, to me, that he's not speaking for the people. He's already talked about that shit. We already know his stance on the government being corrupt and the DOJ being corrupt. Like, does it need to continue? You know what I'm saying? And I thought there was a buildup to me on the border of what he did at the very end and kind of three quarters through in the very end where he said, you can literally walk yourself to the White House, wake up that old man Joe, and sign paperwork to get this taken care of right now. And you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me was the buildup.
So like some things that I think that he could have done better. And like I was telling Chris, I listened to Dave Smith, Part of the Problem, like driving home from work today. And I was like, oh, yeah, because they like to scrutinize and they have the highest expectations of Donald Trump. And I'm like, dude, he's just not there. So like, get that out of your mind. He's not ever going to be that. But they did point out like some stuff that he did miss out on. So like, his closing statement was, you know, Kamala, you have a big talk. You talk the walk, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But you haven't done anything. Yeah. Like, you've had 3.5 years and you haven't done any stuff that you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
He should have opened up with that and allowed her to talk to that, because that's a really good talking point. I mean, that's a smack across the face, bro.
Well, yeah, that's a point that should have been brought up in the debate and not necessarily even like a
closing
statement.
Yes. Know,
but here's the thing. He did bring it up later in the debate, not at the very, very end, but later on in the debate. But maybe if we analyze, you talked about the moderators. I don't like using that as an excuse, right? However, I think it was pretty biased. I think most people recognize that it was pretty biased, right? Like, there was more time allowed to her. They didn't give her any hard.
But that's
questions.
Even more excuse to like be prepared and be on your toes and know that the moderators are going to say certain things. So you have to be sharp about these things.
But,
like, you have to have a response triggered and chambered, you know?
Yeah. So the issue is, I think, is with the platform. Now, it benefited him heavily with Biden. I don't know that this benefited him as much, because here's the thing, like, They were screwing this thing down from the very. He could have said that the very first line, and they would have said, "Sir, we have many topics to talk about tonight. I'm sorry, Miss Kamala," and she would have ignored it completely.
Yeah,
the effectiveness, I don't know, would have been there regardless of when he said it, and that's what he was dealing with.
I think.
I don't know, man.
You don't think so?
Don't know.
I think.
Yeah, I think it would have been better first.
You think it would have been better if
first to say it,
or like sooner, like, you know, like just saying like, "Hey, this is your plan. Why haven't you done this?" You know what I mean? Like, as soon as she talked about, because she did lift off some bullet point things that she was going to do and all this stuff, be like, then why haven't you done any of this, Kamala? Like, just be like, hey, before I answer your question, she just listed off 5 things that she's going to do. Why haven't you done them?
Yeah.
You are in the office. You have the ability to do this right now.
The problem is during this kind of debate where he has someone that can actually is somewhat formidable and able to comprehend what's going on, he would have done better if they would have had open mics. Like, just like before, when he was able to, like, during Hillary Clinton, if she would say something, he could spurt off right then.
Wrong.
And it would take people's attention on him and what he's saying. Yeah. And in this situation with Biden and this, it worked better in the Biden one because he just let Biden drown. But in this situation, I think it would have been better for him to have open mics, and then he would have been able to just throw in jabs every now and again.
Yeah.
Dude, I think he rambles too much. And like, then this one, he just like was rambling a lot. Like, he wasn't very focused on the topic. Like, he would go all over the place. And then I was just like, I text you guys like at the end, like, if I approach this as like an alien coming from outer space, and I had zero idea who these people were, I would think that Trump looked like the unhinged one. And Kamala looked like the more composed one.
Oh, see, I disagree with that, man. I disagree with that, because I thought Kamala looked like the more smug piece of shit. I got to be honest with you. Like, you watch.
She's always a smug piece of shit.
I know, but listen, and there's a couple different podcasts that was talking about it, and I didn't really think about it at the point, but I think just like rewatch. I saw Ban in the comments said he rewatched it a second time and it was better. When you watch the two heads sitting there and she's talking or he's talking, the other person. Trump is, you know, he's got a stoic face on, and he's mean mugging. He's got that mugshot look.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's got that look. She looked like a bitch. Like, there's no other way to say
the
it.
The moderator?
No, Kamala.
Oh.
She just looked bitchy.
She constantly just had the.
And she had her hand on her chin. And I'm just telling you that.
But it's about his response, though. Because, you know, like, she goaded him into a couple responses, like talking about, like, how people were leaving his rallies early when it's actually her rallies that they're leaving early. You know what I mean? He spent 30 seconds responding to that where he could have been talking about something else, about immigration, about whatever he wanted to, but he had to like go back to his ego and be like, you're completely wrong about my rallies. My people love my rallies. Yeah. They stay later. They're out there for hours waiting for me. Yeah. You have zero rallies. Your rallies suck. You know what I mean?
Like, and that's that was her game plan. It was clear to me. And that's why I brought it up. Her game plan was to hit his ego, which is the one thing that he probably has the hardest time controlling, because he has an ego. There's no doubt about it. And he's not going to not try to cover his tracks on it. So that was the game plan. I think she was, I don't want to say highly, fairly effective with it. There was many times, to Greg, your point, that he got off the rails a little bit, and he would sometimes bring it back, you know what I'm saying? But he would get off the rails and he wasted time doing it.
Yeah.
And
what do you think his weakest point was, like, in the debate? Because I have one like right off the bat that I know
his weakest point, like his the weakest question that he answered, or what was?
Well, actually, yeah, there was 2 points where I thought that he could have like slammed her, dude.
Okay,
you know, like really railed her against the wall, you know, like gave her a real pound and town. And I'm not talking about eating dogs and stuff, but I'm talking about when they were talking about Obamacare and all this stuff and like what he would have done. When they asked him, he goes, I don't know. I'm not president. He basically said, like, I have no response to this. I don't have a plan. I'm not president. And it's like, wait, what? Like, don't you just say something? Like, you're going to do something with insurers, or you're going to have like the open price concept where you're going to have the prices available for each insurance company. So that way you can shop around. Like, just say something there instead of like, I'm not president.
Maybe he doesn't have a plan for Obamacare. Maybe he's just going to end up getting rid of it.
But that's not a good debate response, bro. That's what I'm trying to say. Like,
well, why?
Made him look like it was empty.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little out of context, man. He was talking about her, and he was talking about her wanting to remove, like, you know, the private, you know, stuff where it was just government ran. You know what I'm saying? And I think when you really watch that, I did watch that section really well. I felt like you could tell that he was attacking the fact that she wanted to get rid of the private sector and make it a government thing only. And he said numerous times that he was not for that. Now, to be fair, just to combat your thing, when that happened, I was watching Steven Crowder's live thing. That's just what happened to be on YouTube when I was watching it, which was he just cusses a lot. He just is like, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. You know, like he's just yelling her. I remember that specific time when he said that. Steven said, oh, that's going to be a soundbite. Like, they're going to use that as a soundbite when he's like, I don't know what, you know. But the truth is I actually would rather him say that than just lie about some bullshit. If you don't have a plan, just say, I haven't got there. I don't know yet. But what I do know is that them being a government-ran insurance is not the way to go. No. And he did say, I have many people around. We have many consulting about this thing, and we're going to come up with a better plan.
He said that before. He said he was going to abolish Obamacare in 2016. Mm-hmm. He never did.
It should just be gone. I mean, like, why can't we just do what we were doing before? Something better.
Pull
comes.
In Afghanistan. Pull out.
Pull it out.
Pull it out.
It can't be worse than Afghanistan.
Oh, what did he? Well, he said something about. Oh man, it was something. It came off kind of like a sexual burn towards her. He didn't say it wasn't about pulling out. He said something else. I forget what it was, but he said something. He stops. And he goes, "She would know more about that."
Oh yeah, like on her knees or something. Yeah. She climbed her way to the top by sucking. No, I don't know.
When it comes down to it, I honestly think that, like, when you just look at the two candidates, I think the smugness of her was detrimental to her, because that was the same thing with Hillary. There's a lot of people in this country who are sexist. I believe that. I'm sure they are, right? There's some people who will not vote for a female, like Democrats, Republicans, all different kinds. And the fact that she came across as she's like smug, especially coming that she's coming from, you know, the office that she's in right now, right? And shit hasn't been done. She has no reason to be smug. Like, the government's not running well. The economy's poor. Mm-hmm. So she looked bad. Trump, I think, looked a little unhinged on certain aspects, per se. You know, you could use that word. But mm-hmm. I also think Trump looked passionate about the things that he was talking about. She seemed like, where everything's fine. We're going to be we're going to get it back on track. We got these policies.
There were some points where she was trying to be compassionate.
Fake.
Like
compassion.
Everything she says is very fake and lying. Like, I can see through it.
Sure.
Just like you guys can. But I mean, I'm going, okay, she's trying to appeal to the emotions of everything here.
Oh,
when
for
she's
sure.
talking about abortions, and she's talking about, like, the ironically, the right to a sovereign body, you know, like the right to try, like all this stuff about like your body, the right
vaccine.
You know what I mean? I'm like, you mandated the vaccine, you crazy whore.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what are we talking about here?
But see, you're right. But what I'm saying is I think most people see through it. It doesn't seem genuine. Trump is upset about the way things are going. You can see it when he's talking that he is pissed off about the border being open. He's really actually pissed off that he had a good thing going and it got fucked. I think that's what pisses him off. But, you know, I want to believe that people can see, even if he's kind of brash, that he is passionate and she's phony as fuck. Like, there is no other way around it. The whole thing in a nutshell to me is she looked extremely phony and planned, and he looked maybe slightly unhinged, but sincere about what he was saying. And to me, and I'm biased, I, you know, like I'm not obviously even considering a vote for him.
Yeah. I think like the majority of people who don't know about the issue, like they don't know a lot about like what they're talking about, feel like Trump did okay.
True.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, I think the after polls had him winning with like a 63% or something.
That was social media.
Most people didn't care. Most people were like, you know what? I came here and I was going to vote for Trump before this anyway.
Yeah.
I saved a clip of a lady. She was like, it's trying to be like super polite about it. Dude, you should play it. Right. But like, this was CNN. Like he walked up to her and asked her like, you know, like after this debate, what were you thinking here? And then her response is just great, dude. She's like, she's trying to be all like super polite and stuff. But
I think it's important to remember that we are voting for the leader of our country and not who we like the most or who we want in our wedding party, but who is actually going to make our country better. And we're in an incredibly unique situation where we've had both of the candidates in office before and we've gotten to see what they would do. And when facts come to facts, my life was better when Trump was in office. The economy was higher, inflation was lower, things were better overall. And now with Kamala's administration, things haven't been so fantastic. And she's saying she can
the old sickly
fix the
redhead
problems that her
is
administration has caused, but I just don't know if I can afford to take that risk.
Were you leaning towards the former president coming in tonight?
Probably.
And did you vote for him in 2016 or 2020?
I did.
Kabamo. So I'm just like,
that's the truth.
Dude, that was the most polite way to say, you know, Kamala's just not doing it. And yeah, I'm voting for Trump.
But see, that's what it comes down to. Listen, all this like shenanigans that are happening, Trump and Kamala included, like all the buzz and all the shit that people are talking about. What it comes down to is do you like what happened pre-pandemic? Right. Because you have to be fair. We had a pandemic and obviously it got off course. But do you like Trump's economy? Or do you like what's happened in the past 4 years?
Well, yeah, and you can't even use the excuse that she wasn't the president because her policies are the same fucking shit.
She never went against his policy.
And Trump pointed that out in the debate. He's like, she has no plan. Her plan is Biden's plan.
Well, she doesn't have her plan is Trump's plan. I mean, let's be real.
She's, now that she's stealing his shit. Yeah,
she is all over the place, and they did ask her that.
But that's where Trump should have elaborated. Yes. You're like, look, you're stealing my opportunity. Like, you're stealing everything that I'm doing, X, Y, and Z. Like, he should have drilled down on that. Be like, you are doing this, which is my plan. Mm-hmm. You are doing this. Like, that could have bolstered his argument 10 times.
Yeah.
Some people are saying that we can't hear the audio on the videos that we play on YouTube there, Chris. So I don't know if that's a problem. But
is that on both platforms, I wonder, or just
I don't know.
Let us know, guys, if it's on both platforms, Rumble and YouTube. If not, we can try to fix that as well. But
one other thing that I think that he was kind of weak on is when they were talking about, you know, the moderators brought up this question, like, President Trump, you alluded that you did not know that Kamala Harris was black.
Oh, yeah.
What did you mean by that? And why did you even bring that up? Yeah. And he's like, honestly, I just didn't know. I didn't know. And he kind of caved. He fell back on that. He didn't really like want to go there. But I'm like, dude, you should go there. Like, fucking bring it up. Be like, she ran on her birth certificate. It shows that she's an Indian American. She ran as an Indian American. Wikipedia has changed over time to basically make her black. You guys are pandering to minorities. And you're using this like as a tactic. And he should have, that would be 2016 Trump right there, dude.
Yeah.
And that's what I was hoping he would say, but he never did. And I was like, fuck.
Yes, I agree with you. I like that. I think he could have attacked that more. I do understand why he didn't. That is honest. I think, listen, he has to know, and Kamala has to know that this more than likely was not going to change the opinions of many people. Like, I think at this point, like, Trump support. Now, we obviously have some middle ground. We have some moderates who are probably undecided. But I honestly think that most people, even moderates included, are already leaning a certain way. And I don't know that, like, she could have failed miserably on this, and it wouldn't have been like a Biden. You know what I mean? They weren't going to kick her off. Her supporters would have said, like, she did great. Like, he, you know, he's lying, sack of shit. You know, that's what it always is. So I actually felt that wasn't a bad answer when he says, I don't know what she is. I don't care what she is. You know, she wants to be that. She can be whatever she wants to be.
Dude, it made him look like he made a mistake and he just didn't want to talk about it. Like he was embarrassed. That's the way it looked. It looked like he was like, oh, you know, I didn't know she was black. You know, like she mentioned she, you know, I just saw that she was Indian and then I see that she's black and I don't know.
Do you think that's a winning situation? Here's the thing, though. Can you assess that and honestly say that's worth the risk? I don't think it's worth the risk.
Was it worth the risk for him to say it in the first place? I'm just saying, bro. Well, like, if you're going to go there, be ready to defend it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. That to me is a very minimal fucking thing. For me personally, that's pretty minimal. Because you have a bunch of people watching. Now, in his rallies, he's going to say a bunch of shit. And the people at the rally is going to be all up in arms. Yeah, you know. And he'll get his clips and shit. And he gets on the news and he gets talked about. But you have people, you have women and shit on there. And I'm assuming that the ones that are voting for Kamala, which we know that she's going to get a lot of women vote. I think he could have taken that. It could have been a really bad sound clip if you would have, because you could argue, even though we know it's true, and your point is absolutely accurate, Greg, we could argue that like it's one of those that would be conspiracy theory. It's the same as the birthing shit. Yeah. It would have been taken that way, and they would have said, look at this racist piece of shit who's talking
I just put it in the chat. If he was a skilled speaker, then he could have dug in. Like, if he was skilled and like very meticulous and careful, okay, like careful in being, you know, mindful of racial tensions, he could have pointed out the obvious. Be like, dude, you are trying to take advantage of specific racial groups. And that's what the Democrats have done this entire time.
But you think that would have worked, though? You think with her and the moderators, you think that would have benefited him? Like, he was standing alone on an island with other people. I don't know that would have worked well, man. I think they would have all three ganged him, literally banged him in the corner with that. You know,
well,
I mean?
We could talk about what ifs all night. I mean,
ganged him and banged
what
him.
If? Ganged him and banged him. I just, like, listen.
I'm just saying he is the one who started that whole scenario.
Yeah.
So, like, be ready to prepare to, like, defend it, dude. That's all I'm saying. I have a better answer than just like, I don't know.
Sure, sure.
I don't know.
Sure. I've been the one that's been saying I want him to be, you know, more cordial. You know what I'm saying? I want him to come across better. And I love it. We all love it. We love the sound clips. We all loved it at the time. I think that at this point, like, he's gotta be able to appeal to some people. And we know that he's not appealing. He never did appeal to the suburban mom. He rarely appealed to the younger generation who, you know, obviously there's a ton of women at the pre-25 who are not going to even consider voting for Trump. I mean, that just is what it is. So I don't know that that's a winning thing. Like, you can say things and then just backtrack it. All politicians
do
it.
None of this debate, if that's what you want to call it, was a winning thing, like, quote unquote, a winning thing. Like, none of this made me want to vote for Trump. None of this made me want to ever vote for Kamala Harris. I'm just saying, like, it was a wash. This whole thing was a big waste of time.
Yeah, I think at best it was a wash.
But see, that's ultimately what I was thinking after. When I was driving to work today and I went to bed, was thinking about it a little bit, woke up, was watching some videos and shit on my way to work. What I ended up kind of thinking ultimately was, this is the end of this whole thing. Like, the end of all this bullshit. None of this matters. I don't think any of this matters anymore. I feel like the line is so deep that, like, there's no point in debates. And to Chris's point early on in the conversation, you said, is it even a debate? It's not debating. Like, especially when there's so many stringent rules about mics being shut off and biases where she gets more answering time. She doesn't, like, what is that? That is literally two people just saying shit. And it has no bearings on the actual elections. Zero. I would beg to. Yeah. I would argue that, like, she may get a bump of a couple points or a couple, you know, on like the big scale. But what you saw was media, the shit media that you see on TV, was leaning towards her, and most of social media leaned towards Trump. And we know one's dying and one's thriving.
So, Trump agreed to the restrictions, the strict rules, the boundaries of, like, hey, we're going to have mics shut off. We're going to do it on our platform with Biden, right? And then the second debate comes around, and it's with Kamala, a new opponent, and he agrees immediately right off the bat to the same stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Don't you think he should have, like, pushed back a little bit and be like, hey, I already agreed to your guys' rules. Now it's my turn. So if you want to debate me, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go on X. We're going to have Elon be the moderator. We're going to do this, 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 or maybe not even that extreme.
Yeah.
We could be like, hey, we're going to do it at Mar-a-Lago. We're going to do it somewhere that's more for me. You know what I mean? And I get to choose.
But she won't.
Who the fair moderator is.
Yeah, she won't do it. And that's truth. Like, she will
not. But that's where you point out the hypocrisy of these people. Yeah. Say, like, look, I was willing to go debate their candidate. Let's be fair. This is the DNC. And it's still Biden, Kamala. It's still their, you know, plan. So it's like, he could have pushed back on that and been like, hey, he could have bartered and you know, negotiated a little bit better.
Well, he still could. Part
of the deal.
He still could, because I think they are already, I mean, they're already planning one for October, too.
She wants to do another one.
So.
Yeah.
But, do you not think that Trump's given, like, listen, that's the one thing. Like, he's trying, and I think this, maybe this is just me. I feel like he's trying to play the right lane. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to be the guy who's like, listen, I'm trying to do it the right way. You guys can be this, and we'll do it your way, and I'll let you have this one. And then he gets fucked over because they won't let him do the one he wants, right? Like, that, the nice guy always finishes last, that thing, right? I'm not saying he's the perfectly nice guy, but I'm saying we've seen this, right? Like, he's not going to pursue Hillary Clinton because he doesn't want to ruffle. You know, he wants to make sure that people come together and we're not trying to separate, but then they go after him tenfold. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's the issue. I think he's probably like, yeah, we can do hers and I can handle it. And he thinks that they're going to do his, and I don't think that's going to be the case. I think she's going to say it's not going to happen.
I think him doing this on their terms helps him more, because then you see the clear bias.
Yes.
And he knows that. He knows that you're going to see the moderators. It's going to be the stories are 3-1 now, right?
Yep.
Well, yeah, I seen that.
He knows that benefits him.
Yep.
As soon as the debate started, and I forget what Trump said, he was saying his normal stuff that he's been saying forever. And then the chick moderator, I forget what her name is.
Sucky McSuck. Not joking. I don't know her name.
Tits
but
McGee.
She chimed in and like, no, you're wrong about that.
Yeah.
Like, type of thing. I was like, who the fuck are you? You're not in this debate. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's a big deal. Like, you can't interject.
Yeah.
When you're a moderator, you cannot put your opinion into this at all.
Yeah, and she immediately was like, "Well, no, you're wrong. That's wrong about that." And then the other guy's like, "Well, we have this other question here," and he's just like why the fuck are you even? Are you're not on the stage right now?
Yeah, I don't want to get off of what Greg said though, because I think that's important. It will benefit him, because what Trump shows, even if you dislike him, he shows good faith. You know what I'm saying? He shows that he's willing to go into the other realm, you know what I'm saying, to make sure that it seems fair. You know what I mean? Like, listen, if she wants these rules and Joe Biden wanted these rules, I'm willing to play that game. A, because he feels confident that he's good at what he does and he can do it. But it shows good faith. And when she won't do it, and I'm assuming that she will not do a Mar-a-Lago, even though that's probably not where it is, but even Fox News, what if it was Sean Hannity?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a person who would definitely be biased towards Trump. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. She probably wouldn't do it. And that would show is her good faith is not there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let's do the next debate moderated by Tucker and Joe Rogan.
I'd like to see, Tucker and you know, somebody, you know, I don't know.
Tim Pool or something?
No, I'm going to see, somebody that's a little more, nerdy. And like, maybe, a Shapiro, you know, or something.
Oh.
That'd be kind of
fun. Oh, God.
You know, you just have to hear him fast talk it, you know?
So, I think that Trump's running on revenge. That's his one thing that he has, because everybody knows that the media is against him. The judicial system's against him. The whole fucking thing is against him, right?
Yeah.
They tried to kill him. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, that is his motto. That's his go-to. He, I just saw it, Banielson just said, he walks into the lion's den, right? He's known to go put up a fight, and that's what people like. That's what they respect, and he knows that. Yeah. He goes, mm-hmm. I'm going to be the alpha. I'm going to walk in. I know I'm going to be mistreated.
Yeah.
And people are going to see that and they're going to respect it.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Right?
And that's
what he's running on.
Yeah. And the other positive towards Trump on this one, even if you could argue this was not his best debate, right? And I wouldn't even say it wasn't his best. I thought she did better. I think that's what made the debate different, was she did better than expected. But the point was, and I think it was Tim Pool that said this one, where he was saying you can walk. You know, if you put Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson with two or three other men in a ring, he could be the best in the world. And when the fight is 3-1 or 2-1, it's going to be more challenging. And the fact that Tyson could come out walking, you know what I'm saying, is enough that are like, damn, dude, that guy got his ass kicked by three people. and he's still walking out on this one. You know what I mean? Like, that is a show of
You know what it reminds me of?
What's that?
The, what is it? Not Rambo. Fucking the boxing meme where they put Trump's face on freaking Sylvester Stallone's body.
Yeah.
What's the fight? Who's the boxer? What's the famous movie?
Rocky.
Oh, my God. Like, what the hell am I? Am I on drugs? Am I high? Can I not remember shit now? Am I Joe Biden?
I think you
are. Am I wearing a MAGA hat?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think that's a huge thing. I think it's a big thing, man. I really do. Because people see that it's a biased situation, and Trump wasn't afraid to do that. And I think when you're looking, okay, if you're just an average person, and your average American mind, right, somebody that's not too deep into everything, the fears that you have, right? You right now, you're probably thinking maybe a little border, the economy's crappy. But you're also looking at war.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at these other things. I think that was the one thing that he could have touched on more, was the fact that, like, he is capable of, like, hey, you may not like brash. You may not like a person who's bold or, like, outspoken. But when it comes to other leaders, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to be her, you know what I'm saying, where you're giggling and shit, like, they're not going to take that seriously.
Well, yeah, he kind of touched on that a little bit from what I saw, how he was saying, like, he said he doesn't like to use the word afraid, that they were afraid of him, but they were afraid. They were afraid, and they respected him out of fear of what could be done, and knowing that he would do what needs to be done.
A little bit.
He, like, you know, he always does say that, like, I will end the war.
Yeah.
They respect me. It's like, but, like, give an example, please. You know, like, I get the whole, like, he walked over and he met Kim Jong-un, which was badass.
I appreciate that. Kamala said un. That drive me. That she said Kim Jong-un, and I'm like, who the fuck is that?
What? Did she say that?
Yes, she did say that. She said a hard un.
With the hard un.
She said a hard un.
Kim Jong-un.
Un. She did. That's and I was like, you clearly haven't left your fucking White House.
That's not his name.
It's like, I just wish he would give an example of how he's going to end the war. Like, he talks about the Ukraine war, which is like, is that even still going on anymore?
Yeah. Well,
like,
yeah, I haven't heard.
We're still funding it, but Ukraine, I don't hear anything about it.
Went into Russia, so.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that. They have started a front into Russia.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's not good.
Wow.
That's been like a week, man.
Yeah.
It's like they're heading into Russia right now.
I thought they were worried about the other way around. Like, I thought Putin was going to go further into Europe and into Poland, but now it's Ukraine going into Russia.
Like, yeah.
So I just don't know how that's going to stop. Like, how does Trump stop Israel and Hamas from fighting? Trump stop someone with nuclear weapons from launching one?
I just don't
understand it.
Well, the same way he stopped it all before. Like, he talked to them.
He created
peace agreements.
He didn't stop it. He prevented it, which is easier to do. Preventing two people from battling is easier when they're not battling. You know what I'm
saying?
Easier
than trying to calm it down.
When they're in the middle of a fight, getting those two people to stop fighting is much harder. We see that, you know, just on any video. But to Greg's point, I do understand it. I think the difference between Trump and Kamala and Biden and you name the president, right? Is that Trump doesn't have that.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, If you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy. And order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Fucking hard stop that other people do. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're trying to be diplomatic here. We don't want to be too cringy. You know, like, we'll give you money if you stop doing it. You know, Trump, and it's famous. You know, the famous is kind of overused, but it's true. And I've heard it where he laid the photo out to the fucking leader and said, and it was a picture of his home. You've heard that.
Oh, his house.
Oh, yeah.
And like that kind of shit is what
he actually said that during the debate.
He did.
Yeah.
But he said that he sent it, but what in reality, he actually laid it out.
He was at the table
and the guy grabs the photo and it's a photo of his home. That is the kind of shit that you see in the history books of like famous like leaders of the military who are like, listen, they're like, fuck the girl, I'm gonna do what is right for our street, you know.
Yeah.
You
really?
Want...
I think that's what you see in like the Sopranos. You go,
yeah, it's a little.
Hey, Johnny, here, take a look at this picture.
I mean, dude, who's
it is?
You see
little,
what that is? That's
is a
nice little
mommy.
Home.
It's a little.
I
mommy.
Would hate to have that home be ruined by a bomb. You know, things go sideways, I might blow up this house. So
yeah, but
I hate to
see when it. When you put fear in eyes, that's what you're talking about. Like talking about holding back money is not necessarily scary. They have other sources of getting money. You know what I'm saying? Like Iran can fund them on certain things. Now, if you put a picture, listen, we have great technology.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how deep it goes? That's a whole nother story, but we have great technology. We have the technology to probably eliminate every leader on Earth right now if we wanted to, just in a snap of a finger. You know what I'm saying? Through drone technology, through other shit. We know where they're at. We know how to eliminate. We're not going to, clearly. But the point is he laid that out.
I do like
how
you smiled when you said that.
Yeah.
We can eliminate every leader. You guys, come on, let's do it.
My point is,
we're not going to.
We're like a lion that's caged by politics. We're aggressive. We're dominant. We could destroy most, right? But we're held back by a cage, which is diplomacy of all this world, right?
Yeah.
We can't be that guy. We can't be the guy that just goes and takes out somebody. We got to do it the right way, you know. But my point is like when you look at leaders like McCarthy or other like famous generals or something, whoever they are, right? I have a feeling that they were given orders and they said, "Fuck that guy. We're gonna take these tanks." And you know, they kind of went off the rails a little bit, but that's what you need a little bit.
Yeah.
The people that are in Washington don't know what's happening on the front. You know what I'm saying? So you have to make rash decisions. I think Trump does that from the White House. He says, okay, you're telling me that, but what's more effective? Talking about putting a sanction on you or giving you a photo of your home and saying, if you want to fuck our troops over, that's where you live. This is where your family, your little boy, I know he's 6 months old. He's right there. You know what I'm saying? I know it's real brash, but the point is that changes a person, because you go, God damn it, he's an overhead view of my home right there. He knows exactly where my family
sometimes
is.
You got to bring.
Wouldn't you assume that though? Like as a leader of whatever the hell that was,
I know, but
I don't even know who he was talking to. But I'm saying like we know where the White House is.
I know,
true,
but
clearly, right?
But yes.
So it's like, what's the point?
It's a huge point.
It's different. It's different in the fact that yes, other countries can take a satellite and take a picture of whatever the fuck they want. I'm sure. But the difference is having the balls to sit at the table with that exact guy and saying, don't fuck with me or else. And then when you slide that over and you're proving the fucking point, like I've already done the research. This is going to happen right now if I want it to happen right now.
See, I don't think it's the research. I think, Greg, what makes it effective is that in normal circumstances, America would not be the country to do that. You know what I'm saying? We're not the country to slide a photo over and say, we'll fucking kill you. That's
we're not?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm saying at least on surface level. We have this, we have always played, like, I'm not saying we play bad, but we're corrupt. We do corrupt shit. I'm not trying to get into that. I'm saying you always have this.
They've always done like
diplomatic approach to everything.
It's always been the bitch behind your back.
Yeah, shit. You know, we know it with the soldiers, dude. This is a thing years ago where soldiers were, they couldn't take the shot. They had to wait for, listen, I got him in the fucking scopes. He's got his fucking gun aim at this guy. Like, can't take the, hold on. Don't take the shot yet. No, you should be able to take the fucking shot, right? So you have these bureaucrats who are controlling who gets to fire when and what. Everything has to be by the books and per the system. I'm not saying it always is, but I'm saying at least on face value, it is. Trump,
even with Uvalde.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's why
Trump bucks that system. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Trump bucks that system because he is a little unhinged, or at least appears to be unhinged. When he lays that photo out, he's not Obama. Now Obama did drone strike Americans. Let's not forget about that.
No.
But he's not these other people where they're like, this is empty threats.
Yeah.
Like they don't know. They don't know if Trump is an
empty
threat.
I like it because I feel like Trump brings the cowboy back out in America. Like the crazy Wild West fucking America. That's what like he brings to the table. He's like, they don't know if he's serious or not, but they don't want to take the risk.
I think that. I really do think that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were sitting at a table with him compared to Bush, or just name one, right? And Bush like, you know, we're going
to
keep saying.
Yeah, and he slides a photo of your house to you and he's giving you the mugshot.
And the media's made it that way.
He's going like this.
Yeah. Listen, to be fair, the media has made him that way. I'm not even saying he is that way. I'm saying the media has portrayed him to be an unhinged, bomb-ready fucking person. Like, to scare America.
I was going
to
say, like, I've yet to see Trump act like that. So I don't know how he reacts, you know, when the cameras are off. The only thing that I've heard is like, you know, stuff where he's talking about Kamala in a golf cart where he's like,
oh yeah,
have you seen her? She's so fucking hysterical.
She's so fucking pathetic.
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem like the guy to start wars and stuff. So that's why I'm saying like how stern and like ready to bomb a mother effer is he, you know?
Here's the thing. This is a thing. And listen, I'm no MMA guy. Okay. I'm not, I don't fight. I'm not into that shit. I don't think any of us are not like that. But my point is when you talk about people who are really achieved fighters, whether in any sport, right? Or even just karate, any of that shit, you train to be a fucking killer. You know what I'm saying? But you train to be that so you don't have to be that. Mm. So my point is, the persona that it comes with it to what you're saying, Greg, that you don't know what he would actually do doesn't matter. What matters is he's perceived to be that. And if he is, like, how do you question it, right? So if you know a guy, like, if you're a trained assassin, bro, like you jiu-jitsu and you could literally rip heads off, right? The whole idea is that you don't have to rip heads off. The whole idea is that people know that you can rip heads off and they just don't want to fuck with you because they don't want to deal with that shit. You know what I'm saying?
But don't you test him? Don't you test the guy? Don't you test Trump and say, I don't fucking believe you, Trump. I'm going to go do it anyway.
Yeah.
And see what he does?
Well, maybe. But
like, why didn't they?
What do you mean, why didn't they?
Like,
it's obvious why they didn't.
Well, I know, but he's saying, wouldn't you test him? Like, but during the whole 4 years he was president, he would do that kind of shit and nobody tested him.
I don't know, but that's the thing is
the whole Soleimani thing, like, you know, he blew that guy to shreds, right? Or like sent in some dogs or something.
See, dad.
Beautiful
dad
dogs.
Like a dog.
Beautiful dogs. The most beautiful dogs.
So I'm just saying, like, we did that.
But what you're asking is, we know how aggressive the world is, right? We know that there's nuclear threat. Lots of people have nuclear bombs. We know that an escalation could lead to something far worse than what we want. Anybody wants.
We know what we've been told about how aggressive the world is. I'm just going to say that. I don't know. I'm assuming yes. Okay. I'm assuming that the stories are correct and the media is not all 100% lies.
Sure.
I'm assuming that, like, the male leaders out there are, like, filled with machismo, and they do want to puff their chests and they want to, portray strength and be like, hey, don't fuck with me or I'm going to fuck with you, even 10 times worse. But honestly, we really don't know. Like, we don't know what happens behind closed doors. So I'm not going to pretend like I know exactly what happens, but I will go along with the story that the media portrays. You know what I mean?
That's a really weird, like, open-ended. I don't really know how to handle that. Like, I think there's a lot of, like, there's plenty of video of Putin. There's plenty of video of other people that you would perceive to be the bad guys of the world, even in the Middle East, right? And we've seen tons of video of destruction and shit. I'm not saying, I think you could bias that. Like, is it worthy destruction, right? Like, are these people held down and they're fighting back against it? We don't know, like, who necessarily the bad or good is, but we know that there's bad shit that happens. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's fair, right? Yeah. That we know that there's some bad shit that happens. Now, who's the right one or the wrong one? That's kind of like the whole Israel, Hamas Palestine shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, who is the bad one? You know what I mean? Like, obviously Israel's done some bad shit, but I mean, clearly Hamas has done some really bad shit. Like, we know that to be true.
Who funds Hamas?
Well, I'd say we have
Israel. Well, yeah. So I'm just saying, like, there's a history to everything.
Yeah.
So it's not just like, it's not that black and white.
It's not black and white. But at the same time, like, I think that, like, even Iran, and there's been a couple examples where they were bombed by Israel and they didn't retaliate. Now, and that was not that long ago. Israel did some, like, I think it was Iran. I could be a little wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, Iran was bombed a little bit by Israel and there was no retaliation. They kind of came out and were like, no, nothing happened. We're good, you know? And it's like, why would they do that? So just from, like, a layman's perspective, what I would think is they don't want to actually get involved in this too much. You know what I'm saying? Because if something happens, obviously America is going to back Israel. There's no doubt about it. And if there becomes a full-blown, I'm not talking about Israel just pummeling Palestine. I'm talking about if there's a full-blown Middle Eastern conflict that starts to arise, America, more than likely, depending on who the president is going to jump right into it. They're gonna send some people. They're going to send money. They're going to send weapons. And I don't think Iran really wants to do that. I think they want to flex their muscles. They want to say that they're tough, and they probably do have some tough aspects, but they don't really want to get into that. That you're talking about the demise of a country, man. Like, let's be frank. Like,
I have a weird prediction, and you know me with my weird predictions. This one will probably take many years to unfold.
Okay.
But I call that Trump turns on Israel. No longer friends with Israel. Hmm. I'm calling it. It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird, but it's going to take multiple stories unwinding little pieces and bits here.
What makes you think I'm actually curious. What makes you think that
there's some stuff. I don't know if it's, you know, groovy to talk about on YouTube, but I feel like he's going to find out that Israel was involved in many things that hurt America, and that he's going to disclose that information, and or at least maybe that information will become disclosed to the public. And in the public eye, he will be like, oh, yeah, I think it's time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just have a hunch. It's not like a big freaking thing. Yeah, like, I don't want to.
What about Trump being the fucking Messiah or whatever?
No, I'm not. Where
they're going to sacrifice the cow to him.
Let's not be crazy here, Chris.
I'm just not.
Let's
into
not
that
talk
shit,
some craziness. This is
I'm not into that.
This is a level headed show here.
I mean, listen.
Well,
I
he would never turn his back. If that
there
was
is
true.
Very few countries that I feel like have long-standing relationships. You know what I'm saying? Like, in all honesty, and it wouldn't shock me to go with your point, Greg. It wouldn't shock me at some point that Israel does something or something happens where the friendship, if you will, is frayed at some point. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not to me, that's not that surprising. I feel like all countries go through
that. Or if they were involved in something that was...
Well, and when I say Israel, I want to say the government of Israel. Just like the government of the United States.
That is a given. Given. Yeah, you don't have to... I know you need to say it, but I'm saying it's a given that when you're talking about any country, like the people of Iran are probably not bad people. The government is fucking horrendous. And you could argue that. And listen, I was telling you about the other
99% of a country.
Dude, I was watching that. You know, there's this guy, I still don't remember his fucking name, but there's a dude that travels to all these countries and shit. I think I told you about it, Greg, where he's on a motorcycle and he goes literally from like Sweden all the way through Iraq and all kinds of shit. And I was honestly like humbled by the fact like Iraq, the people were so generous, bro. Like of all the shit that we've done and all the shit, all the time that we've been there and all the shit, like they were like buying people things like this guy. They were just like, here's a drink. Like they were friends. Like you thought that there was nothing going on. So like the people are not what the problem is. There's bad people in every country. The governments are fucked. You don't even need to say
that in the media, dude. The media spreads the fear and the propaganda and like. You know, like with Portland, for example, like the Antifa shit was legit, but it was contained to a specific part of Portland. It wasn't widespread Portland everywhere.
No,
right?
Yeah, it wasn't in the entirety of Portland. It was just a small section of
downtown. I get that Portland had to be boarded up and all the cities were like all the businesses were pretty much fucked.
Well, downtown.
Yeah, but I'm just saying like. The media blew it up to the entire city of Portland. And then even when we would talk to people that were out of state, they'd be like, oh, you work in Portland, dude? Like, how did you do that? Can you even drive through the city without being killed?
I still tell people Portland is fucking Iraq, bro. I think downtown Portland is not. I don't know. Beg to differ. I think it's a fucking pile of shit. Working downtown is a pile of shit. And what makes it a pile of shit is the people that live downtown that have to go through all this bullshit still support this bullshit, which is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah,
supposedly.
I spent my whole time talking to business owners. That's all I dealt with when I was in downtown Portland. That's all the people I dealt with.
I thought you were talking about election stuff.
No, I'm talking about business owners downtown were literally, dude, like one guy got stabbed in the back by a homeless person. Another person lost their business, was losing their business, I should say, and was still like, but you know, it's for the best. Like, I'm sorry, man. Like, that to me is fucking asinine. Like
he just takes the knife out of his back and goes, oh, man, you misplaced this. Here you go.
He was a great guy, but he's
here
like,
you go, government. Stab me again.
Have a good day, guys.
I just had the wrong guy in my facility. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? You gave him a free meal. He gave the guy a free meal.
After he stabbed him?
The guy ate at his restaurant. I've said this before, a long time ago. He ate at his fucking restaurant. Mm-hmm. The dude was homeless. He went to the cashier, went up to have him pay. He said, I'm not paying. I don't have any money. Okay, so the business owner went up to the guy, and he said, like, hey, man, you just need to leave. Okay, just leave. Like, you ate. You're not going to pay. Just get out of my facility. He turned around to walk away. Got stabbed in the back. Like, and then the dude
was
like.
So you're talking about the homeless and the mentally unstable people in Portland.
No, I'm saying.
That I agree, dude.
No.
They're fucking everywhere.
No, I'm saying.
But the Antifa riots are very, they were secluded to a very specific part of Portland.
My ultimate point about the Portland thing is that the people that are in that region, right, you can just say downtown if you want to, even though it goes all the way to Clackamas and Beaverton, all these other they still for some reason still support Ted Wheeler. They still support the fucking governors. They still support the shit, and like that
no matter who.
That's what it is, man. So that to me is unforgivable. I would argue that Portland is a kind of a shithole all front and back. Like, it's not just downtown is crappy, but this place is. And listen, there's beautiful parts of Portland. I joke. I tell people, I'm like,
man. I mean, my point was specifically about the Antifa riots and how that was blown up unproportionately in the media.
But we did have it on 82nd. We had major protesting on 82nd, which is on the east, or I'm sorry, on the east side of Portland. You know what I'm saying? So like it was downtown. It was on the east side. I'm sure there was other things, but you're right. Like it wasn't the entire city was on flames. But to be fair, downtown Portland is not very big. If you've never been there, compared to other cities, in, you know, that everybody has gone to, it's a pretty small, big city. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you
cracked that right. Right.
Sorry, I wanted to do the diligence of leaving the silence
know,
for the
I
beer.
Know, I but amen. No, yeah, you're right. It's not like it made it to like be that the entire city was on fire, but being there, like it wasn't on fire. But unfortunately,
this isn't my whole point. Was bringing it back to this whole like the media, the wars, the whole thing, the stories that were being told about other countries. You know, going back to your point about the guy who traveled across and he does these YouTubes and he goes and talks to the actual people of the countries. They invite him in. They're loving. They're people. They're humanity. Like, that's what we're missing. And we're not shown that in the media because it doesn't get clicks. And it's a 24-hour news cycle that they need you to pay attention to stuff.
I agree.
And how do you pay attention to stuff? You have to be afraid and you have to be like worried. You have to be.
My comparison, I actually did not say this right, but my comparison, really what I was trying to get at was when you see those videos of people in Iraq, you know what I'm saying? Or he's driving through these areas, like they're hospitable. They want to buy them things. They want to have drinks with them. They, you know, buy them food and they're friendly. And it's weird to me that in a state where, I should say a city like Baghdad or something, where chaos, I mean, decades of chaos, you know, leadership dying, fucking all these factions trying to take power. There's still really good people who know right and wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we got a corrupt ass government. We need to fix this shit. And my point to Portland was, it's weird to me that in a place like Portland, the people that I'm talking about, like in Iraq, see it as like, hey, man, this is the right thing to do. You know what I mean? Like, we're good. Like, everything's on fire or there's Antifa taking control. And a lot of people are like, yeah, this is, you know, I still support Ted Wheeler. It's, you know, I don't know.
I've heard different. So, like, in Portland, I can see your point of, like, Stockholm Syndrome, where they've been indoctrinated by the media and by, like, social, like, all of these just ideas where, hey, it's okay to want to cut my dick off and become a woman. Like, that's okay.
Whoa.
But, like, where in other countries, what I've heard is that they can't do anything because they don't have weapons, for one.
Yeah, that's
and important. Two,
they don't have rights.
They know that their government is corrupt, but there's nothing that they can really do as a, you know, society to push back against it because they'll all be just wiped out like a genocide.
That's possible, man. But I would argue that, like, in the Middle East, I feel like they probably do have some uprisings. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't be that weird to me to see Iraqis come together and overthrow something.
I don't think they do.
I don't know, man.
I mean, at least, well, our government.
I mean,
and
honestly, have you guys looked this
up? It has.
No, I just like just the videos that I've seen, like, and the discussions that, you know, some of these people were talking about. Like, I feel like it's achievable. The issue comes down to, like, Mexico, right, where you can have good people who join the police force, but are because of money or they become corrupted immediately. You know what I mean? So you start good and it gets corrupted almost immediately. And I'm sure that's the case in some of these other places, right? You gain a little power and you become corrupt and then you become just what you hate, you know, at the same time.
Honestly, it becomes Mexico. You're run by a cartel. You're run by a fucking gang.
Yeah.
Oh, where did I go?
You're
run by a gang who has all the power, all the money and all the guns.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a hard position to get out of. It is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know, man. Like with Mexico, what do you do? You know, like, you at some point, the people outnumber the cartel. You know what I'm saying? Like, the cartel functions based off of people not doing anything. You know what I'm saying? Because they know that the fear is there, and they know that, hey, they may have 100 times the amount of people we have, but, like, they're not really going to do anything about it, so we can you know, throw our power around a little bit. You know, like, that fear is very meaningful, you know, to these people. But, like, the only way to stop it is either an intervention by us or somebody else, which who wants that on our southern border, right? Like, we don't want a war in Mexico. But, like, you just let them do it? Or does the people have to say, like, I'm willing to die to try to get back our city? You know what I mean? Like, that may be what it is.
You can make the same exact argument about our government and the CIA and the intelligence agencies that run our country.
Yeah, we just haven't seen it in the same realm. I'm not saying it's not the same or it can't get to the same, but what the cartel does and what visually those people see. I mean, listen, the minute that the government starts killing people in the street, which is what's happening in parts of Mexico, like literally beheading people in the street, gunning down whole fucking families in the middle of the street, I would say that my argument would be, I think you would see people in America actually get their guns out and start doing something about that. You know, we haven't seen that. We see the behind the scenes shit, man.
Only if they knew that. See, and that's the difference. The people of Mexico know who it is doing it. They know it's the cartel, and they know that they're doing it. Like, the same thing could be happening here, but nobody knows who's actually controlling what.
Yeah, but the cartel runs the government. literally, in Mexico, and a lot of
who's
aspects.
To say that there isn't a that isn't something of a cartel running our fucking government.
That's could, what I'm saying, bro.
It could be,
but I get what Dave's saying. It's like the extent of the extremity that you see in public, yeah. Like trucks with men holding AK-47s driving down the road.
Yeah.
We don't see that, right?
Yeah,
we don't see that visual representation of the cartel.
Yeah, the blatancy of it.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like there is a line in the sand, and America hasn't hit that line yet. Yeah. I'm not saying we're not really fucking close. I'm just saying we haven't hit that line, and maybe we could have had the you know the old jabby jab kept going and shit was really dark, but we haven't that line in Mexico was crossed a long, long time ago. To the point where people don't want to leave their homes after 5 p.m. I mean, it's really bad, man.
Yeah, I don't think anything will ever happen in Mexico unless another country comes to help. Because if it was, it would have happened. Like you said, it would have happened a long time ago. They've known how bad it is, and they know who's controlling shit and know who's doing what they're doing to the country for a long time. And the people don't do anything.
Well, could it be like an Iraq situation where it's... You know, it's more stable with a crazy dictator, right? Than without. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
like, are there factioning gangs there without the cartel in charge?
See, the issue with like Iraq and Afghanistan and all those. And I'm really not trying to pick on the Middle East, but like the Middle East, if you really look at it, you're talking about. It's just really like. Tribal, you know. I'm not saying Mexico is not tribal to some extent. Well, it is. There's all these factions and all these different religions that are running certain parts of the country, and they all want their peace. You know, they all want their power. They want to be the controlling power. Mexico has a long history, man.
Oh,
it has a long history. I would argue that the people of Mexico in general are very good people, dude. Hardworking people. They live. I mean, there's a lot of like Westernized shit in
the ratio is probably. Close to the same as here.
Mexico could be a lot more like America. Like they have homes like we recognize. They have vehicles like we recognize. You know, they have nice restaurants. I'm not saying the Middle East doesn't have those things too, but like you can look at the two and you can say, well, this one seems like they're about 500 years behind for some reason. Now, Iran used to be very Westernized and then it turned to shit real quick, right? So it's not that they can't be. They don't want to be. They don't want that. And I think Mexico wants to be involved in trade. They want to have vacations, you know, people coming to visit. That's what they boom on. So I think they want it all.
I've kind of gone away from assuming what people want in another country based on what I know. Because like I don't know anything. Right? Like I know what I've been shown on YouTube.
Yeah.
On the media. I've never been to these places. Just like that guy who travels. And he rides his bike to all these different countries. He knows because he's been there. He actually is on the streets and he knows. I'm done with assuming that anybody has these bad intentions of like they don't want peace. They don't want all this other stuff. Like I'm just like, I hope that
that's not what I was coming across like, that I think the Middle East don't want peace. I think the majority of people do want peace, man. I'm just recognizing the fact that like, as a society function, like however that is, you could see the same thing in Africa and parts of Northern Africa too, right? Where it's just, it's not set up the same. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying it's not set up the same. There's all these small factions that have control of certain small areas of pieces, you know, of countries. And like when you have a full society that's trying to function as one whole, that's very different than having tribalistic kind of like, well, these are the Sunnis over here and these are this is over here and you can't go. It is what it is, but like you can't, that's hard to function that way. You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to be a cohesive government, right? Like I don't see them all of a sudden stepping up and being like South Korea where they end up booming, you know, like South Korea fucking is booming, dude.
They could. If the people actually wanted to, and they took it back, there isn't any reason with, especially with the natural resources with oil and all that shit that they have there. No reason why they couldn't just boom. It fucking turns around on the drop of a fucking hat. They could.
Yep.
But they won't.
Well, there's a lot of things going against it, man. Like not a lot of people are just like, I can't wait to go to the deserts of Iraq. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that has to do like South Korea is beautiful in a lot of places. You know what I'm saying? Like these countries,
I love breathing in sand.
Like, can you imagine if North Korea, if all that shit went away? Exactly. Like I love sandstorms. Like I can't wait to get on the sandstorm beach. If North Korea ever got out of this fucking bullshit, right? Where they had this dictatorship going on and people were Like, North Korea, when you see video, like, people driving, because there are people that actually go in North Korea and film it, which is shocking, but it's not an ugly country, man. It's a beautiful country. There's
it's very green. It's fucking...
Yeah, there's hills, and there's, like, there's all this potential that is being held down by a dictator.
But and that, so that but the country Middle East could, area could be, or maybe it is in some places.
I mean, like, look at Dubai.
Yeah, exactly. Look at Dubai. Beautiful in its own way.
Doesn't I want to know how many Rothschild banks are in North Korea.
Yeah.
That's my number one question. How many banks
I don't know if they
backed
have any,
by the dollar
I don't know if they have any
are in North Korea?
Why?
Why what?
Well, that lets me know that they just don't want to be a part of the fucking system, dude. Right? Like, that's what this whole world is. Like, if you look at the World Bank... And who's all in this connected system? And then we think of North Korea, and we've only been shown, like, it's a totalitarian dictatorship, like, the people are starving.
Right here.
Fake putting stuff.
There are six remaining countries without banks owned by the Rothschild family.
Six?
Six. There is
six countries.
Abkhazia. I don't even know where that is. Cuba. Go figure.
Okay.
Iran, North Korea, Russia, Bolivia, and Syria.
There you go, dude. Like, why do you think we want to invade those
all
countries?
All the enemies.
Yep.
I mean, you want to take over that country so you can install the Rothschild banks.
Well, I mean
I'm not trying to be racist here. I'm not trying to be, like, prejudiced against a specific group of people.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. The only thing I would argue is that there's been plenty of people coming out of North Korea that have horror stories about that shit. I don't want to.
True.
I will never say that, oh, that's actually a really good country and a good guy who's doing the right thing, who just doesn't want to be in the Rothschilds. That's a fucking piece of shit who does piece of shit things to people.
I'm in the same boat, but, like, that's one person's story, right? I'm just saying, like...
that's not one. That's a lot. There's a lot of people that are coming, defacting out of North Korea, man. Like, it's not good. Like, it's not good. Even the people that are there seeing it, it's just like, they play it off to be good. It's not good. Like, it's all fake facade. So, I mean,
there was a lot of people at January 6th that said it wasn't good either. I mean, why would they say that?
But you see
the
video.
I'm just saying, dude, like, there's a way.
You see the video. You say that, but you see people saying bullshit, and then you see the video, which counter, is productive to what the bullshit is. Oh, it was this terrible thing, but we all see the video, and we're like, oh, that doesn't add up at all. That's all these things. We see a government official saying something, and then you see the video and you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. This doesn't look anything like what you're talking about. That's not the case in North Korea. You can watch, there's plenty of really good documentaries on people that went there and visited for long periods of time. And it's rough, dude. It's like, they play it off to be nice. It is not nice. It's not good.
No, I don't doubt that it's rough, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going against the bankers, it's going to be rough.
Well, but that
however, is... I mean, if you go to Russia, look at what Tucker did. He went to Russia, and
Russia's
fantastic
different.
Train station.
Yeah, Russia's very different to me. Russia, I think, is standing on its own, and you could argue that he's a bad person too. But I'm saying, I think that most of the people in Russia don't feel like he's hindering them. You know what I'm saying? And their lives. Whereas North Korea, I feel like you're rationing shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not. They're very different countries. That's all I'm trying to say. They're very, very different countries.
Yeah,
indeed.
You know,
but anyway, that Trump Harris debate fucking sucked.
Hey, can we end it on a positive note? Trump did get the endorsement of the fucking decade.
Over
the past couple days.
He did. The current president has come out and decided, I'm done with Democrats.
It's true.
Yeah.
I'm going to put on a Trump hat.
We saw it in the debate last night when Trump said, I'm not trying to be rude, but he does not like her at all. This proves that he was right, actually. Yeah. Snopes, get
on. I did not sign that letter. I did not suspend my campaign.
Yeah.
Go Trump.
He put a Trump hat.
Joe Biden.
And if you guys think that is fake, it is not fake. There's views of this happening from multiple angles.
Yeah, it's not fake, dude. It's not fake.
It's not fake.
I just want to know. I just want to be there and know what the fuck happened. Like, did they
just hand him a hat
and he just like, ugh, and just put it on because he doesn't know what the fuck's going on?
But, I mean, do you think he did this, like, in sincerity? Like, he's like, hey, I support Trump now. I'm going to put this hat on. Or did he do it as a joke?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I want to know what the context is.
You know what?
Is.
I'll say this. I don't think it matters if it's a joke or insincerity. I think that's the true. Truth is Trump's next ad is going to have this ending it, saying vote Trump. even Biden loves Trump. You know what I'm saying? Listen, it doesn't matter. None of that fucking matters. What matters is the image exists and it will be used endlessly. You know what I'm saying? Endlessly.
Yep. Trump needs to put this on his campaign, like Chris was saying.
100%.
100%.
Yep. His handlers literally shit themselves when they saw this. Like, you've got to be shitting.
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed this video came out and everyone went, oh, fuck.
You fucking idiot. We're so glad we got rid of you, you piece of shit. If he would have just said, fuck Kamala, like, just to end it like that, dude, that would have been the best thing ever, dude. she sucks.
Hell yeah.
Right, well, that's good shit.
Trump Biden.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? Hey. If Trump comes out and says, listen, I'll put Biden on it, he'll be on the board of something. Put him on the board of elderly, and we'll put him there.
The board of elderly?
I don't know if that's a thing, but my point is can you imagine if Biden's like, I get back in there. I get back in the White House. Thank you, Trump. Trump is a great man. Oh, God.
I think he'll, like, volunteer Joe Biden to be first in a voluntary trial for, like, Alzheimer medication or something.
Sure, dude. Whatever.
Right to try. Here you go, Joe. Dude.
Yeah, man.
I can just see it, like, ending an ad and it just saying MAGA. Yeah. Bringing people together. And then it ends with Joe Biden putting the Trump hat on.
Yeah, dude. And smiling. It's not even like he's mad about it. He is happy.
Exactly. He's like,
so happy.
Hey, you look good.
That's like his second ice cream cone. You know what I'm saying? Like, he smiles when he gets the ice cream. He's smiling with that hat on. He loves it.
Yeah.
That is an American.
He'll be on the board of ice cream, Ban says.
Yeah, that's what it is, dude.
chuck it, Chip.
He's a guy that tries the shit so the president doesn't have to. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the old
Oh, yes.
Biden, you're going to be the taste tester, buddy. And he's like, ice cream. I got to taste it. Yeah, like, yeah, but anything. You get all of it first. Everything first.
Anytime he sits down with like any kind of foreign leader or adversary or something, and they give him something, he just goes. And Biden comes over and drinks it or eats it first.
Yep.
He like bends it down at the waist and he licks.
Yep.
Just whatever it is, he just bends over.
And then
he just bends and goes.
Yeah.
We're good.
He definitely has a stiff.
He is negotiating heavily, though. He said no work past 4 p.m. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. That's true.
Trump has to eat early dinners. All right, guys. That was good shit, man. Good times.
Good times.
I did see a comment real quick before we bounce out of here. I saw a comment from somebody who said that they just found us after all these years.
Yeah, Tudio, my hero.
Hey, man. Good to see you back. I know it's been traumatic. A lot of people lost us. I just ran into... I didn't even tell that story. I'm going to tell that one next time. We ran into somebody here in Houston. That said, they didn't know we were still a show.
Yeah.
Dude, yes, we need to talk about that.
We will.
Like, I don't know. Maybe we should post another video on that old channel.
Either way, guys, we love you.
We're still alive.
We love you all. We appreciate the show.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Happy Wednesday.
If you haven't yet, and you're watching on YouTube or you're watching on Rumble, we're on both. So go follow. I'm doing the Kamala right now. Follow and like and subscribe everywhere you can. We are on Patreon still. Go over there. Sign up, guys. We have other things we do. We have call-in shows. We have Zoom parties. We just love you, and we're spreading hope and joy for all.
Hey, I need to say something about that one. You can't let us talk about that right now, man.
You liberal losers.
All right, guys. Thank you.
See you.
We'll see you later.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.